following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
All right, good morning, everybody. How many of you are glad to be at the Lifeway this morning? Welcome to week one of a brand new series that we're launching called Fully Engaged. Everybody say Fully Engaged. Okay, all right, the title, Fully Engaged. Come on, everybody say Fully Engaged. All right, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at what it means, what it looks like to be a fully engaged follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, a lot of these messages are just very practical, messages that I believe will really help us. I believe that we're living in a time where our world needs individuals who are fully engaged followers of Jesus Christ. Our community needs to be filled with voices that speak hope, with voices that speak love, and voices that speak life into dead situations. And now this may come as a surprise to you here this morning, but God's answer to meeting people's spiritual needs was to put you smack dab right in the middle of the community that you're in. In fact, as we discussed last week, God has a plan. He has a purpose for each and every one of us to be world changers, to be influencers. But in order for us to really reach our full potential, in order for us to really make the impact that God wants us to make, it's essential that we are fully engaged. Every one of us in this room, we have loved ones, we have friends, we have relatives, we have coworkers whose spiritual lives, their eternity literally lies and hangs in the balance. And so the plan for those people that you love and the people that you care about, the plan for them coming to know Jesus is you. God placed you on earth to be an influencer. And as a church, we're going to do, you know, many exciting things, and we're going to have great events. But at the end of the day, it's all about reaching those who don't know Jesus Christ. And so today what I'm going to share with you is what I believe is one of the foundational messages that you're going to find throughout Scripture. It's one of the foundational messages of our church. For those of you that may be in our Freedom Life Group, this first week of this series is going to be a little bit of a review for you. But I believe that this concept is essential for everyone to know and to follow. One of the things that you'll hear often at the Lifeway is how we desire and how we are striving to be a life-giving church. You know, when people attend, we want them to have this life-giving experience, that really just draws them closer to God. You know, now in some way, without knowing the forces behind it, many of you in this room have experienced what I'm referring to. Perhaps you've attended a church where they sing the same songs that you've heard in other churches, but for some reason it feels different. The atmosphere is different. God's presence is there. There's love, there's freedom, there's hope, and there's joy. And when you leave a church like this, it feels as if your life has been supercharged. It's just life-giving. It's like it's a breath of fresh air has been blown into your life. On the other hand, you can visit another church who teaches out of the same Bible. They may even sing the same song, but when you're sitting there, it feels like, when is this going to end? How many of you ever sat in a service like that and you're wondering, when is this going to end? I know I'm not the only one, all right? It's all right. You can be honest. It is church. Be honest, all right? You know, how soon can I get out of here? It's the opposite of the first church I described. It's actually life-taking. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up with me. We're going to spend most of our time in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible, you want to follow along on your digital device also. We've got a sermon outline in your service guide. I encourage you to pull that out and take some notes with us this morning. But we're going to be looking at a story which at a very cursory glance seems inconsequential. And what it is it's the story of two trees that God created in the Garden of Eden that he named the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. These were important trees. God gave them names. And starting in Genesis 2, verses 8, it says this: Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. And in the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two trees. Now when I grew up hearing this story, and when I was in kids ministry growing up, and I heard the story of the fall of man, you know, I always believed in my mind, you know, Eve was bad. You know, Eve misbehaved. Eve had made a horrible choice. And I viewed this tree that she had eaten from as though you can either choose to be a good person or you can choose to be a bad person. In fact, if I was being truthful, I actually thought it was the tree of evil. But it's not the tree of evil. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so it's important to understand that knowledge is what you know. Knowledge is what you believe. Knowledge is your worldview. It's how you see things. And this is so important because it's your view of God that will ultimately determine if you live a fully engaged life. When you have knowledge about something, when you have knowledge, when you have understanding, what happens is you begin to see it differently. You begin to see things differently. And he goes on to say in verse 16, But the Lord God warned him, You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. In other words, you know, God said, Go and enjoy all of them. And I just want to pause here for a moment and tell you that God wants you to enjoy your life. Too many Christians, they live their life and they feel like they must be doing something wrong if they're having a good time, if they're having fun. But it's interesting because it was Jesus who said that he came so that we could have an abundant life, so that we could live life to the full. Verse 17 says, Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. And in our context this morning, to eat doesn't mean to physically consume like the bite of fruit that Eve took, but it means to buy into a mindset, to ingest it by saying, this is how I view God, this is how I see things. These trees, the choices they represent are very important in our walk with God. And so I believe that the question that God is asking us this morning is this, is how are you going to get close to me? And just like he did with Adam and Eve this morning, he is offering us two choices. Each of us have the option to pursue God through the lens or the filter of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you pursue life through this tree, what happens is you do your best to learn and to understand and define what is good. And when you define that, when you get that definition, you try your hardest to do those things. And then you work at learning, well, what is evil? And then when you figure out what evil is, we do our best to avoid those things. So that's the one choice we have. Or on the other side, we can pursue God through the lens of the tree of life. And when this happens internally, you literally become the life of the thing that you want to be. And so we're going to get into that in just a moment. But you need to understand this morning that Satan does not want you to live from the tree of life. He wants you to live out of this other tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're going to pick up the story in Genesis 3 now, starting in verse 1. Now Satan is involved, and it says this, The serpent was the shrewdest of all the animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? And I want you to notice, this is always the tactic of our enemy. He will come to you and he will make an appeal to you. And it's important to note that he cannot put his hand on you unless you listen and stop to hear that appeal. Going on, Eve responds, verse 2, of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. Verse 3, it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Verse 4, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God. Now, there's a really important fact found right here in this scripture. I want you to notice something, because Satan's appeal to Eve wasn't to be a bad person. He actually appeals to Eve's godliness, not her rebelliousness. He was tricking her into doing the wrong thing by making her think it was the right thing to do. You will be like God. And it's important to understand that from a distance, from a long ways away, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it looks good. It looks like the right tree. In fact, most of the people that live in this tree, most of the people that stay in this tree, they defend it. They think that they're right. They think that they're right where they're supposed to be. And Satan goes on to say that like God, after eating the fruit, Eve, you will be like God. You will know both good and evil. And so the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. In this verse, you will find, this isn't our study today, but this is a little bonus here, you'll find the three root causes of all types of sin. The first is lust. It looked delicious. It was something that satisfied her appetite. The second one was greed. The tree was beautiful. It was something that she wanted. And the third category was finally pride. She wanted, she desired the wisdom of God. And so all sins, every sin under the sun, is going to fall into one of these three basic categories: lust, greed, and pride. And so when Eve realizes that this is going to satisfy all three of these things, it says she took some of the fruit and ate it. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, which means their worldview changed. How they saw God changed. And I want you to notice the result. This is what happens every time you listen to one of the devil's appeals. Suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness. There was immediate guilt. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. God gave Adam and Eve a choice. And it's actually the same choice that he's been offering to mankind for hundreds and thousands of years. It's the same choice that you and I are given today. And the problem is that this choice is difficult, because the counterfeit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, looks like the right way, even though it's not. And so I want to share with you three comparisons to help you identify the differences between these two trees. Here's the first one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil says, do more to get to God. Do more to get to God. In other words, in order to be godly, I must volunteer more. I must read one more chapter of the Bible than I usually do. I must pray one more hour a week than I normally do. And ultimately, no matter what you do, you feel ungodly. You feel unworthy because you don't quite measure up. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I remember as a senior in high school, our church hosted an annual conference in the winter. And since the school campus was located right on the church grounds, they dismissed us older students from class so we could attend the conference. And the speaker, the main speaker this particular day, his teaching centered on a book that he had written about prayer entitled The Nautical Hour. And it was basically, this book basically, to just sum it all up real quickly, was basically about getting up really early in the morning, right before the sun came up, to pray for an hour. And I'll never forget that day. I was convicted to pray more. Which, let me tell you, in and of itself is not a bad thing. The problem was, though, is because I was in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I placed God's acceptance of me on how much I prayed. And if I succeeded in praying for the nautical hour. And so after failing to pray for an hour several weeks in a row, it became this heavy burden that I carried literally for years. Some of the days I even fell asleep as I was trying to pray. And so I began to berate myself. And like I said, for years I lived under condemnation because I felt like I didn't measure up to God's standards. And the consequence of living out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is this: if you don't do more, you'll condemn yourself. And when you are successful at doing more, you'll begin to condemn everybody else. I want you to think about it. Every single time, if you don't do more, you'll condemn yourself. And when you're successful at doing more, you'll begin to condemn everyone else. If you choose to live in this tree, I promise you, it will kill you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm reminded, this isn't in your notes, of 2 Timothy 3:5, where it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, you can complete every spiritual activity out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and still have no power. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Let's go to the opposite of that. The tree of life is receiving the fact that Jesus has already done it. That's good news this morning. It's already been done. In other words, it's not up to us to perform for him. But instead, we need to realize that it's already been done for us by Jesus Christ. In John 5:39, Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But he says here, wait a second, if that's what you're doing, you've missed it. The scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me and receive this life. And so I want to caution you this morning. If you think the amount of time you spend reading this book is what makes you godly, but while you're reading it, you're not challenged to become more like Jesus Christ, you've missed the entire point. The reason we talk about soap and the reason I encourage people to do journaling and read their Bible isn't to check something off of an obligatory religious to-do list. The point is that we get closer to Jesus Christ, that we grow in his character. Here's another distinguishing point. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil says, keep trying to get God's approval. Keep trying to get God's approval. We inherently believe that we are ungodly. The tree produces shame. It forces you to cover yourself like Adam and Eve did because you're naked. I want you to realize that if you read the rest of the story of Adam and Eve, after they ate that fruit, they ran and hid. They ran and hid, Scripture says, because they thought that God no longer wanted to be close to them. Shame, condemnation. But the story tells us that God starts looking and he starts calling out, Adam, Adam, where are you? And I think there are some of us in this room that we're hiding because of our shame. We're hiding because of our guilt and our condemnation. All the while, God is calling and he's reaching out to us. I want you to notice the direct opposite, the tree of life. And that is, receive the fact that he already loves you. He already loves you. God is so in love with you. You don't have to earn it. He loves you even in your shame. Now let me tell you, he doesn't like you that way and he doesn't want you to stay that way, but nonetheless, he still loves you. Can I tell you this morning, no one knows your sin better than Jesus. Yet he still wants to draw you close to him. He knows your thoughts. He knows your secret temptations. He knows where and when you fulfilled them in the past. He knows everything about you. And he's still out there. He's still searching. He's still calling and he's saying, "Hey, Andrew, where are you? Won't you come on back? I want you to be close to me." Romans 5:8. "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Think about that for a moment. While we were sinners, he sent Christ to die. Jesus didn't get up to Golgotha. They didn't lay him down on that rugged tree. And he didn't scream out, wait. Before you pound that nail in, is anybody going to receive my gift? Because if not, I'm not going to go through with this. No, the scripture says that while they were spitting on him, he willingly went. When they were screaming in his face, "I don't want you," he did it for those very same people. And in order to be fully engaged, you need to receive the fact that Jesus Christ is madly in love with you. He desires you so much. Here's the next one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil says obey out of duty. Obey out of duty. You obey because of the need to be a good person. You obey because of the need to avoid hell. And can I tell you, when you live in this tree, there's this constant tension. I'm just going to be honest. This is where I have lived a big part of my life. You go to church because you think it counts. But secretly, you can't wait till it's over so you can get out of there. You pray, but you don't like it. But you do it anyway because you think it counts for something. You read the Bible and you don't like it, but you continue to do it because you think it counts for something. And when you're serving God in this capacity, is you're obeying God out of a sense of duty. And I hope that this message this morning is a great revelation for some of you. Listen, you cannot do this book unless you're in love. It will never work. I cannot be a good husband to Shiloh. I can't be faithful to the vows that I made her unless I'm in love. And let me tell you this morning, too many people are trying to play the role of Christian without the relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we try to do the role without the relationship, we end up failing. We end up feeling guilt. We end up feeling condemnation. And we end up becoming judgmental, ugly Christians. 1 John 5:3 says, "Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Verse 12 says, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life." This word "has" in the Greek comes from the same root as the word that you recite in a wedding vow, to have and to hold. It's a passionate, enduring. It's a bonding have. It doesn't mean you possess something in your hand. It literally means that you possess it relationally in your heart. So this says that the one who possesses God with all of their heart and is relationally bonded to him, that's the person who the commands are not burdensome for. It's a joy in their life. Instead of obeying out of duty, here's the opposite, the tree of life. Obey out of delight. Obey out of delight. In other words, "God, I want to do these things because I'm in love with you. God, I want to do these things because you've done so much in my life." Now, I want to tell you that from time to time, there is a place for obedience. But there's a better way, and that is to want to do it instead of I have to do it. And that is essentially what living in the tree of life is all about. It's my love for God that leads me to read this book because I want to know him more. It's my love for God that leads me to pray because I want to spend time with him. It's the reason why when I serve, I've taken the time to discover my purpose because I want to honor him because of what he's done for me. And when we live out of the tree of life, we get to the place where Christianity and following Jesus Christ is a joy. And can I tell you that it's sad, but most people live out of the wrong tree. In fact, let me tell you how you can spot them. Even as they operate in the name of good, the people in this tree never have anything nice to say about anyone. They're critical of others. These are the people that are quick to point out. They're quick to notice other people's sin because they are so focused on good and focused on evil. That they insist on punishment for wrongdoers. They don't show grace. They don't show mercy. These are the people in churches that fight about the style of music. They fight about the number of services. They fight about the length of services. They have petty doctrinal differences and disagreements and arguments. These are the people that complain the sound is too loud or the music is too modern or the music is too classic or why does the church need a hazer? All of this instead of loving the fact that Jesus has shown up in the building. And that the pastor perhaps taught a life-changing, applicable principle. They are critical. And ultimately, they begin making themselves the judge of everything. And so if you've ever done any of those things, it's very likely that you're operating out of the wrong tree. Our natural bend, our natural tendency is to gravitate towards this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. On the other hand, those who eat from the tree of life have these characteristics. They exhibit unconditional love. They show grace. They show mercy. There's innocence. There's freedom. Instead of being critical, you come into church just ready to receive something, ready to speak a good word. In Matthew 18, Jesus said that unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's kind of one of those funny passages when you think about it. You know, what was Jesus saying? You know, he wasn't meaning that we had to, you know, get little, you know, move back to the fetal position and start all over again. No, you know, he wasn't saying, you know, get out the coloring books and stay in between the lines and go on recess and play kickball. No, Jesus was actually referring to the condition of the heart. Now, have you ever noticed how innocent little kids are? You know, they're, you know, 1, 2, 3 years old, and even when they do bad stuff, I know with all of our kids, you know, when they were in that little stage, they do something bad, and there were many times that I'd have to walk out of the room so I wouldn't laugh when they were doing something naughty because there was something cute about it. Like I remember when one of the boys, I don't even remember which one it was, but one of them, when they were little, they loved spaghetti, and so when he ate it, it was like everywhere. Like how many of you have like kids that love spaghetti? It's like everywhere, like in their hair, in their ears, just all over the place. Like spaghetti is one of those meals you just take them right to the shower and kind of like hose them off, right? Noodles everywhere in their hair and their eyes. And you'd get them cleaned up, right? And they'd be running around. And I don't know if you ever had this happen, but hours later you'd be like, what is that? Come over here. And you'd lift up their neck and there was like a noodle stuck right there, right? How many of you ever had that, right? Right? Saving it for later, right? And we laugh because it's cute. But what would happen if you took Shyla and I to Carrabba's for dinner this evening? And I ate like that. Right? Most of you would be looking for a new church. You'd be looking for a new pastor. Why? Because it's not cute anymore. Right, and it's amazing to me how as adults we get older, we get smarter, you know, as we grow in Jesus Christ, we, you know, our knowledge becomes more, and all of a sudden we start looking at people and say, that's not cute anymore. What's your problem? You know better than that. And Jesus is calling out to us saying, hey, why don't you come to the tree of life? Come to the tree of innocence. And so as we wrap this up this morning, I want to give you four practical steps to help you live out of the tree of life. Number one, fall in love with Jesus. I want you to fall passionately in love with Jesus Christ, the one who can deliver you, the one who set you free and died for you, to love the one who wants the best for you. Can I tell you, the one who sees more potential in you than you even see in yourself. And so instead of learning how to be religious, I want you just to fall in love. My primary objective is to point people to the relationship that gives them the power to live for Christ the right way. Because the gospel is not sharing information. It's not sharing facts. The power of the gospel is the transformation of a person. John 14:15, this is what Jesus said. If you love me, obey my commandments. And for years, I read this verse out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is what I heard. I heard, Andrew, if you obey my commandments, I will know that you love me. But that's not what it says. Once you start eating from the tree of life, it says, hey, Andrew, if you love me, you'll do what I command. And when you really love me, the byproduct is that you'll want to do the things that I command. And so this is what my goal is this morning, is to get you to live your life on the other side of the comma. I want you to live your life on the if you love me side, not on the obey my commandments side. When we fall in love with Jesus Christ, it changes everything. The second thing, number two, is serve God through relationship. Serve God through relationship, not rules. Now, we do have to serve him. Works, working for Jesus Christ, Christian education, and character training are important. But these things only work when we're living in the tree of life. Otherwise, they become law. And so it's essential that we serve him through our relationship, not because of a list of rules or regulations. My service, my giving to God isn't because he wants something from me. It's because I know that God has something great for me. See the difference? God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And this is why Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to fulfill their purpose. In other words, Jesus Christ came to put the tree of life in it. Here's the third response to this, and that is now respond to all sin with life. Respond to all sin with life. Romans 8:1 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. In fact, our response to other people's sin reveals which tree we live in. So how do you respond to the sin of people in your circles? Do you respond with grace? Do you respond with compassion? Do you respond with anger? Do you respond with judgment? When the woman that was caught in adultery was brought before Jesus, it was Jesus who said, whoever has no sin, throw the first stone. And one by one, the accusers begin to walk away. And at the very end, he tells the woman, I want you to watch this. Neither do I accuse you, but go leave your life of sin. And I want you to notice the grace and the truth working together. I don't accuse you, Jesus said, but don't do that anymore. It's grace and truth coming together. Together and working. Here's the last one, number four. Guard your hearts from going back. Guard your hearts from ever going back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I believe that Satan is content for you to be in church He's content for you to be in a life group. He's content for you to do all the things that you're doing as long as you're living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we must pay careful attention to not go back to the wrong tree. In your spiritual journey, in our spiritual journeys, we have a choice of two trees to live out. God put them both there. The tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so I ask you this morning, which one are you going to live in? Which one are you going to eat out of in order to become more like Jesus Christ? Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." And so it doesn't matter what tree you've lived out in the past. Today I'm asking you to make a new choice, or maybe confirm your choice. Choose life. Choose blessing. When you experience God through this other tree, it changes everything about your spiritual journey and your experience. As we close this morning, there may be some sitting here who, before this message, thought that you were in a relatively good place in your spiritual journey. But as I've taught, you've realized like that you've been living a long, long time out of this wrong tree. In fact, you might be like I was. You might be sitting here hearing this, and the first time I heard this message, I was literally angry that I had wasted years of my life fighting and struggling with guilt and condemnation. I was upset because I had struggled for living for God so long because I was living out of the wrong tree. And so today, it's a great opportunity to recommit to God and begin making the choice to move to that other tree. Can I tell you, when you go to the tree of life, your journey is going to be so much better. Your life is going to be so much more enjoyable. You will experience a freedom that you never thought possible. On the other hand, I know that there might be others sitting here who you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus. But you know deep down inside that your heart isn't right. You carry guilt over the bad things you've done. And so you might be sitting here this morning, you're ready for a reset, for a fresh start. Can I tell you, right now is a great time. It's a great time to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to commit your life to follow after Him. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to call you up to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up by yourself or embarrass you in any way. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say, "You know what, Andrew, that's me. I want to commit. I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want to make things right with Jesus today. I want to live out of the tree of life." If that's you today, would you just lift your hands, because I want to pray for you. Thank you. I see hands going up all over the place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the best decision that you could ever make. Come on, pray with me. If you don't know the words to say, you can repeat after me, but I want you all just to begin to talk to God. Lord Jesus, Lord, today I ask you to come into my heart. Lord, I'm sorry for all the wrong things that I've done. I'm sorry for the things that I've done that have hurt you, that have hurt others. And so, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I ask you to wash me, to cleanse me. Lord God, by the power of your sacrifice, by the power of your blood, Lord God, I'm asking that you make me brand new this morning. Lord, be the Lord of my life. I commit my life to follow after you, Lord God, to pursue you from the tree of life. Lord, this morning I pray that you would seal this word, this very important word, deep in everyone's heart. Lord God, give us the faith to pursue you in the right tree. Some of us have literally spent a lifetime being critical, being judgmental. And so, Lord God, We ask you to forgive us. Lord, forgive us, Lord God. Give us faith to pursue you in the right tree, Lord God. Lord, forgive our critical spirit, our judgmental attitudes. Lord God, today we make a commitment. We purpose to be tree of life people. Lord, help us to live in innocence. Help us to live in freedom. And Lord, as we do this, God, I pray that the relationships around us, Lord God, I pray that our relationship with you would grow and that it would flourish, Lord Jesus, that we would become more like you. Jesus, we need you this morning. Let your spirit be strong in us. Help us to be fully engaged. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.